May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 992. Poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine, among the great unfit to shine. But though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange. Hymn 992.
Thank you. us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the first book of Kings, chapter 17. The first book of Kings, reading chapter 17. One Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of a city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and for my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of a woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Do teach us now to pray, granting us each the gift of the Holy Ghost. May real prayer be indited as prompted from within, that we may ask aright, and in faith, nothing doubting, that we might come boldly unto the throne of grace, there to obtain mercy, and there to find grace to help in time of need. We would be thankful for this privilege of being enabled to gather together once more in the house of God here. Lord, thou knowest how we have come, from what busy scenes we have had to rush from. Lord, entering into thy courts, perhaps with many thoughts and many cares and many burdens. But we pray, Lord, to be brought away from all of these things. Drive out all the buyers and sellers that would intrude and distract and disturb. And, O Lord, could it please thee to so prepare our hearts to receive of thy word, for the preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. How dependent we are upon thee. And Lord, thou knowest what desires we may or may not have had regarding the service tonight, what prayers may have been offered up. Lord, if any have come prayerlessly, indifferently, out of mere form and custom and tradition, O Lord, do be pleased to awake and quicken the dead, call them by thy grace, Yea, begin that work of grace in their hearts, to change a heart, renew the will, and turn their feet to Zion's hill. But, O Lord, those who have come prayerfully, Lord, those who have that aching void, O those who feel that needy soul, Lord, those crying out unto thee, to remember them with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people, to visit them with thy salvation. O Lord, who hear the cries of prayers, the petitions, the supplications of each and every one, and O that we might prove thy felt presence here. May there be that solemn, sacred awe about the place. The Lord is here. Oh, might it be known in a special way. Thy presence, that heart burning, Lord, that which is wrought of God, thy word applied, the voice of the beloved heard, yea, the voice of a shepherd heard. O Lord, might it be a special time to one and another, that it might be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. O Lord, may we remember where we are and before whom we come. O Lord, to reverence thy house, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in the beauty of holiness. O Lord, who soften the hard hearts, and block the deaf ears, open the blind eyes. O that great things might be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Lord, who bless to our souls the reading of thy holy word, though what may appear in the face of it a factual account of those times and those days regarding Elijah. But oh, we would see Jesus. Jesus upon every page of scripture. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, that we might be taught of God and taught the truth. O Lord, then remember us also in this. And as we return to thy word, O Lord, who help one to preach faithfully the word of God. O Lord, be pleased to replenish, pour in that one may pour out. O Lord, we are all present here before thee. O that we might hear thy voice, receive thy word. May faith be mixed with what we hear. Oh, send out thy light. Send out thy truth. Let them lead us and bring us unto thy holy hills and unto thy tabernacles. Oh, Lord, we pray for the outpouring of thy Spirit. And may we know what it is for the Holy Ghost to fall upon all who hear the word. Oh, might there be that spiritual application. Oh, may there be that wrought of God. Oh, may thy Spirit so receive a thine and show it unto us. Oh, Lord, that hearts might be touched, that souls might be blessed, sinners might be saved. Oh, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit away. Withhold not thy blessings. Truly we are sinners. And as such, we're so unworthy, undeserving of thy notice of any favour, any blessing, any good. But Lord, to whom shall we go? Oh Lord, we would come to thee as beggars. Oh, we would lay prostrate before thee, put our mouth in the dust, confess our sins, acknowledge our transgressions. We would know that godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation. Oh, we would be found in that word. hope thou in God. For Lord, we do not come up to thee upon the grounds of our fitness, worthiness, righteousness, merits. We come upon the grounds of thy mercy through the finished work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who shed his own heart's blood upon the cross at Calvary to make atonement for sin, who wrought out that robe of righteousness. He is worthy. He alone is worthy. I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. Lord, we remember any in special need, pressing need. Lord, any struggling, all those longing to make their calling and election sure. Oh Lord, those who long to know that they are found in the living family of God. Oh Lord, those who long to know their sins forgiven. Those who long to know savingly, personally, the Lord Jesus Christ. Longing for such a revelation, a manifestation, to know that good hope through grace. Remember any who need reviving, restoring, strengthening, confirming in the way. Oh Lord, remember such who may be suffering much of Satan's temptations, accusations, threatenings. Those who may be walking in darkness and have no light, cast down by the hardness of the way, things seemingly going wrong, disappointments, setbacks, all things hard to endure, oh Lord, things we cannot understand. Lord, thou knowest the way that we take. Remember any, Lord, who longs for a word in season, that the Good Samaritan might come even where they are. Oh Lord, do comfort, do encourage, do bless, we pray. Remember those who may have ailments, weaknesses, infirmities. Oh Lord, do grant much grace. Remember such who walk a lonely pathway, and at times feel the loneliness. Oh Lord, be thou their friend. We would remember each and every one, from the youngest to the eldest. We would remember those unable to be here this night, those who would be here if they could, or those caught up in employments, a home with the little ones or other cares. Lord, those away at this time, and any laid aside in affliction and sickness. Lord, we remember each one. We pray for those who could have come, but had no desire to come, saw no need to come. Oh Lord, do have mercy and touch their hearts, we pray. We would lovingly remember those recently joined together in holy matrimony. Lord, as they go forth now in married life, to be with them. Oh Lord, do bless them. May they see thy good hand going out before them in the way. Lord, do bless this cause of truth. Grant them to know that thy Spirit remaineth. Work mightily in the midst. Bless the church with peace, brotherly love, unity, and prosperity. Oh, may there yet be others who shall come forward. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And, O Lord, bless the officers of the church, grant much grace and wisdom. Help thy servants who minister here from time to time. And may they come with that word from the Lord. Lord, remember Zion. Oh, we live in very difficult days, very sad and trying days, such a withholding. The low state of Zion, Zion languisheth. Oh, the ways of Zion do mourn. so much to discourage, to cast down, the enemy roaring, where is now thy God? Arise, arise, O God of might, and put thy threatening foes to flight. O return with mercies unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. And yet, Lord, oh, what heart searching, personally, collectively, have we grieved the Holy Spirit? Is our life, walk, and conversation not as becometh a gospel of Christ? Lord, have we wandered? Oh, Lord, have we brought a reproach upon the cause of God? The sin light a door. Oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, we would be thankful for every mercy, blessing, favour, comfort, privilege. We do have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we take too much for granted. How often it's only when things are taken from us we appreciate their value, their worth. Oh, grant us truly thankful hearts for all thy many, many mercies. Lord, we would remember before thee our land and nation. May we be found of that little remnant, a tiny remnant of praying souls. O Lord, sighing, groaning over the abominations which are done in our land. O Lord, who have mercy upon us yet, a nation ripe for judgment. And we do fear, Lord, in all the various things taking place, thy judgment, thy rod. O spare us yet, we pray, forsake us not utterly. Maintain a little remnant of praying souls, the salt of the land. Oh, preserve us yet, we pray. Lord, do remember the nations of the earth of this time. Oh, Lord, may not a war of words turn into a war of weapons. Oh, those weapons of great destruction and devastation. Oh, do restrain and constrain, we beseech thee. Lord, rule and overrule, we pray for peace in our times. And may it be our comfort to know that thou art upon the throne of the whole earth. Lord, all events at thy command. And help us to look to thee and to cry unto thee. Lord, hear our poor prayer. Forgive our every sin. We ask all in that worthy, precious, and all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
Hymn 289. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. The psalmist David, beginning this psalm, writes, truly, only, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. We see here something of the teaching of God, the Holy Spirit, all teaching David his need of God's salvation. It's a wonderful mercy if the Lord, by his Spirit, has also been pleased to teach us our need of his salvation. Oh, to be the captain of our salvation, the one alone who can save, to save our never-dying souls, to save us from a deserved hell, to save us from the wrath to come, oh, to save us from the multitude of our sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And David was brought to know again and again and again that he was a sinner. That he was a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. Time and again throughout the Psalms do we read of David crying out for God's mercy. Oh, every soul quickened by the Holy Spirit, every soul taught of God. Oh, every soul taught their need of God's salvation will be brought to cry out from the depths of their hearts for God's mercy. Because mercy can never be earned, mercy can never be deserved, mercy can never be warranted. The very nature of the word mercy. Ah, you remember that story of the young soldier, I believe, in Napoleon's army, had committed some dreadful crime, was sentenced to death, upon which his mother, a widow, hearing of, comes before the emperor to plead for the life of her son, to which the emperor replies, as she seeks for clemency, mercy, he doesn't deserve it. To which she replies, it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. Oh, may the Lord so impress that upon our hearts. I fear there are so many, perhaps burdened souls, thinking that mercy somehow can be deserved, somehow can be merited. Oh, let us hear the word of God. If you will, the instruction of God, the teaching of God, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Lord even sets before us one, a publican, a sinner, who came boldly to the throne of grace, there to confess his sins. He felt so guilty he couldn't even look up. He felt much of a plague of his own heart as he beat upon his breast. And his cry was, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, he knew that he could not save himself. He knew that he did not deserve God's mercy, but he greatly needed it. It was his urgent, pressing cry. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, in this he would be found waiting only upon God. There is that expectation, because God is merciful. God is merciful. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 130, we find him, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my prayer. There he was in the depths, what, the depths of despair? Or the depths of guilt, the depths of sorrow, the depths of trouble, or feeling perhaps the depths of his own wicked heart. But you see, out of those depths, I'll just briefly mention, slightly digressing, but you think of two in the depths. One was Jonah in the depths of the ocean, in the belly of that great fish. Even there, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. The other one which comes to mind is Jeremiah, sinking in the mire, in the pit. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And these dear souls with the psalmist, crying unto God, waiting only upon God. You think of it, all three men. There was no hope in any arm of flesh. And especially Jonah, what a guilty conscience he must have had. Blatantly sinning and disobeying God? Or would God be favourable to him? Would God remember him? But it seemed impossible. Oh, he feared death any moment, any second. He feared the wrath of God, the anger of God. Could there be hope for him? Well, the Lord has spared him 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that great fish. And there he found the throne of grace. And there he proved that salvation is of the Lord. And Jeremiah also being so cruelly treated by men for faithfully preaching, prophesying the word of God, cast into that pit, stone cast upon it. I'm sure he was in blackness, darkness, in despair. He felt to be cut off. But even there he found the throne of grace. Oh, dear friends, from Genesis to Revelation, throughout the Holy Scriptures, we have the Word of God. There is nothing to bar anyone from the throne of grace. Oh, nothing to prevent anyone in coming unto God. Oh, however sinful, however wretched, however guilty, however poor, however needy, however troubled. Oh, remember, the Lord help us to remember there is a throne of grace and a God who hears and answers prayer. And this God is a merciful God. Oh, one who is full of compassion. Indeed, his compassions fail not. And that was written by Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And at least twice we read of the Lord Jesus. Once it concerned a multitude, and seeing the multitudes, he had compassion upon them, as they were a sheep having no shepherd. And the other time it concerned one soul. The man who fell among thieves on the road down to Jericho. Of course, the Lord Jesus speaking there of himself, the Good Samaritan. And when he coming that way, when he saw him, he had compassion upon him and went to him and tended to him. Oh, that there is a throne of grace, there is access unto the holiest of all. A new and a living way has been made, consecrated for us through the rent veil of his flesh. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. How the Lord will draw his people unto him, that in their felt need of him. Or they will come humbly, they will come reverently. Or they will come very tenderly. Or they may come trembling, as it were, on account of their sins and unfitness, or their wretched state and condition, feeling much of the plague of their heart. But you see, by faith, they behold the throne of grace. By faith, they behold a precious Jesus, he who is able to save. Oh, may the Lord impress that truth deep into our hearts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, one who is able to save unto the uttermost, or if you will, uttermost sinners, all who come unto God by him. He is the throne of grace. He is the propitiation of our sins and mercy seat, where mercy may be obtained. And nor does the Lord Jesus turn any away who come to him. Oh, you read throughout the Gospels, there's not one person, old, young, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, who came to the Lord Jesus rightly, prayerfully, in felt need, whom he turned away, or whom he couldn't help, or he wouldn't help, or be their condition, naturally speaking, impossible. Still, they would prove that with God all things are possible. The salvation of our never-dying souls. But Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a great sinner. All my sins of thought, the imaginations of my mind, my sins of word, the tongue, that unruly member, and sins of deed, things which we have done, not just sins of commission, but also sins of omission, sins of negligence, sins of presumption, sins of forgetfulness, sins against light and knowledge, repetitive sinners, truly our sins abound. But where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Amazing grace. Wonderful grace. Ah, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Now, a praying soul, one found at the throne of grace, one found crying unto God Most High, one pleading for his mercy, one pleading for his salvation, or one pleading for the pardon and forgiveness of all of their sins, or one who would be found at Calvary pleading that precious sin atoning blood, or one pleading for that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely is one found in our text, waiting only upon God. For my expectation, does that word seem a little high to one or another here? Or does it seem a little beyond you? Well, for my expectation, my hope is from him. But dear friend, you can see it as an expectation that the Lord will hear your prayer for Jesus' sake. And hearing your prayer for Jesus' sake, he will answer your prayer for Jesus' sake. Oh, remember this scripture, the Lord help us to plead it before him. I said not unto the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. For nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. Indeed, the Lord Jesus himself said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Or if it concerns the salvation of your never-dying soul, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. First of all, to walk uprightly surely is to walk by faith. And by faith is looking unto Jesus, No good thing, or surely the salvation of your never dying soul is a good thing. It will show forth the Lord's mercy, his compassion, his honour, and his glory. Ah, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now, where the Lord has begun that work of grace, where the Lord has given that spirit of prayer, oh, we can be well assured that there will be opposition. Opposition from within, the old man of sin. Opposition from without, being Satan and the world. Oh, how they oppose. How they seek to drive a soul away from the throne of grace. Or if you will, in the context here of our text, to drive that soul away from waiting only upon God. And you see, in all these false religions, there is not that waiting only upon God. Or there may be that waiting, that trusting upon works, upon merits, upon deeds. Or there may be looking to man, whether he be a priest or some other one in position. But the Lord will so teach his people, or he will drive them out of every refuge of lies. Or the Lord will draw them only unto himself and teach them to wait only upon God. But ah, that opposition we feel. Does Satan tempt thee to give up? I'm sure he does. If you're a praying soul, if you're a needy soul, if you're a seeking soul, oh, I'm sure Satan is tempting you to give up, to turn back, telling you there's no hope for you, there's no mercy for you, there's no salvation for you, there's no redemption for you, there's no forgiveness for you. Or he may present before you your sins, your failings, your iniquities, the sins of your youth. Or he will do all that he can to keep you from the Lord, putting all manner of evil thoughts into our minds. Or he may set before us the doctrine of election and then tell us we're not one of the elect. So there can be no hope. No hope for those who are not one of the elect. Well, let us just turn to the words of the Lord Jesus as we find them there in John chapter 10. And perhaps this will help us understand a little further concerning the doctrine of election. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, these who were the unbelievers, or they didn't believe the word of the Lord Jesus. They didn't believe the word of God. They never came rightly to him in felt need concerning their souls. Or they despised him. They rejected him. Indeed, they hated him. But the sheep hear my voice. And if there's one here very troubled tonight that you feel as yet you have not heard his voice, then remember what we read in the end of the Song of Solomon. And again, by way of prayer, O thou that dwellest in the gardens, the gardens of thy grace. The companions hearken unto thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Indeed, have you come into the house of God tonight with that desire to hear his voice? That longing to hear his voice, that felt need to hear his voice. Again, do you echo with the psalmist, be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Or like that other one, speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. But my mind also goes to John chapter 6, where Christ was preaching in the synagogue, I believe at Capernaum, and he speaks of his body, he speaks of his flesh, he speaks of his blood, and many were offended. They did not understand that he was not speaking, as it were, literally of his flesh and blood, but that faith in him. All that faith to believe in him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, that is, believeth in me, believeth that I am the Son of God, believeth that I came down to earth from heaven, or believeth in my precious blood shed at Calvary, which makes atonement for sin, hath eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Ah, many said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They were offended. Christ said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now again, if we are found at the throne of grace pleading for God's mercy, or pleading for his salvation, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, well, surely we're found here coming unto him. And if we're found coming unto him, oh, then it must have been of his Father. Or the Lord himself drawing by his irresistible grace. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Here we see the Trinity, as it were, working together for the salvation of that never-dying soul. But you see, the unbeliever, those who believe not, who were offended from that time, and it's been noted that the word time is in italics, from that, it could be from that saying, from that doctrine of election, many of his nominal disciples went back and walked no more with him. So Jesus turned to the 12. Will ye also go away? You, dear souls, waiting upon God, and the Lord hasn't come yet. The Lord hasn't appeared yet. Or the Lord hasn't feelingly blessed yet. Will ye also go away? You haven't found him yet. Or you haven't been made sure yet. You haven't felt that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon yet. Jesus hasn't revealed himself yet. Will he also go away? Well, the unbelievers, they walked no more with him. They went away. Simon Peter answering on behalf of the others, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no other Saviour, or there's no one else who can forgive my sins, no one else who can save my soul. Indeed, the hymn writer penned, there's not a man that's born of God, but verily will say, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Now, if you find an echo in your heart of that hymn, I'm sure there is a work of grace begun in your heart. Or for me to speak that to you may be no comfort. You need the Lord to assure you that he has quickened, or that you are found born again, that you are a living soul, a seeking soul, a praying soul, one found waiting upon God, waiting only upon God. That is, looking to him alone, looking unto Jesus, and looking off all beside. I would be very, very careful, but I do rather feel there can be this danger of looking to our frames and our feelings. Well, if I feel this, I may be right. If I have this frame of mind, I may be right. Or the Lord grant us that eye of faith to behold the Lamb of God. Or the Lord help us to look only unto him. Oh, what a blessing that was. Blessed time for those three favoured disciples up on the mount. They feared as they entered into the cloud. But oh, that voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And oh, they looked up and saw no man save Jesus only. Now, if our religion is real, if we are amongst the election of grace, if we are amongst the Lord's dear chosen people, his dear sheep, then I believe the Lord will bring us there. Jesus only. Jesus crucified for me. Jesus, my Lord, my Saviour. This my incessant continual cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. I find I must just turn to those words recorded by Matthew, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord so bless them to such souls. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, these souls labour and heavy laden on the guilt of their sin. They're longing for that gospel rest. Oh, they're longing for that peace and believing. They long to find that rest in Christ. Oh, they long to know him. There can be no rest for their burdened souls, their troubled souls, because they're sinners, guilty sinners. They know the day of death is approaching. They know it cannot now be long. Oh, how can I die without Christ? How can I live without Christ? It's give me Christ, or else I die. Jesus, the one thing needful. Oh, that soul would be found coming unto him. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come seeking that rest. Oh, seeking that rest which is found in Christ. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. The Lord whom ye seek will suddenly come to his temple. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now I just bring before you the man at Bethesda's pool. We know that Jesus came to him. But really he was there, was it 38 years? In that languishing condition. There were times, we're not told how many, and the angel came down and troubled the water. And he knew with others that the first person into that pool was healed of whatever disease he had. And as this man told the Lord Jesus, when the water was troubled, but while I was a-coming, another stepped down before me. So really he had his hopes raised on the troubling of the water. I'm sure, again we're not told how often the angel came down, but how each one would have been looking for the waters to be troubled. There would be that hope day by day. And when the waters are troubled, hopes were raised high. And how each one no doubt sought to get into that pool. And yet that dear man, each and every time, met with bitter disappointment. Another always got down before him. I'll speak reverently, but perhaps there were times he was the second one, but not the first. He had to wait and to wait and to wait. Oh, the Lord had eternal purposes toward him. He would not wait in vain, although for him it would not be getting into the water. The Lord, by his word, would heal him, but 38 years, such a long time. Oh, so many disappointments, so many tears. Oh, how no doubt he felt there was no hope for him. His expectation would be cut off. But no. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. I know not, there may be one here waiting, or it seems such a long time. And because it seems such a long time, or perhaps you've seen others favoured, blessed, others enabled to make an open profession, and you feel as it were to be left behind or left out, or you would be found waiting upon God, but oh, it's such a strong temptation to give up, to seek his face no more, or to give up because there seems to be no hope. I don't know, perhaps there's one even come tonight, so burdened, so troubled, feeling there's no hope for you, there's no salvation from you. My soul, can I say, dear soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now I feel I must make this point very, very strongly. The God in whom I trust we all worship is the living God. I'm hoping to speak a little on Elijah, but I'm not preaching as I'd meditated. We have to leave that for the moment. Elijah proved who was a living God. The God who answers prayer. Oh, if we pray unto the Lord God of Israel, the God whom we profess to worship, he is a living God, the true God, the faithful God, the God who hears the prayers of his people, though they be poor prayers, weak prayers, groans, sighs, tears, but all heard in heaven. Every soul found at the throne of grace is found at that place where the Lord will meet, where the Lord will commune, or where the Lord will bless them. The Lord God who hears prayer is the same who answers prayer. The Lord doesn't mock his people. Again, I repeat, I said not unto the seed of Israel, seek ye me in vain. No, there is no seeking of God in vain. But Ava, Lord, oh, we will answer prayer. Oh, he will come. He will reveal himself. Pray on, dear soul. The Lord help you yet to pray on. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Like Abraham, oh, what faith was given to Abraham as he waited upon God. Yes, he had a promise. He had to plead that promise again and again and again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Ah, how often perhaps we do stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Like those in the psalm, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Our performing God, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now just briefly, but just notice Elijah, that well-known chapter, how Elijah was taught by God to wait upon him. Elijah had clear instructions where he was to be. By that brook Cherith, the ravens came morning and evening without fail, and the brook continued to flow. I wonder if it's like a mountain stream, a beautiful, clear, fresh water to not only sustain him, but also where he could wash and bathe. Wonderful provision is water. I think we take it for granted. But we can only imagine, although we're not told specifically, because we're told the brook dried up. Well, I'm sure it didn't dry up all at once. I'm sure it began to get smaller and smaller. And here we see something of the trial of his faith. What did Elijah have? He had the word of God. He could look to his God. He was where God would have him to be, in that lonely, isolated place. He also had the ravens bringing him flesh and bread morning and evening. They failed not because they were sent of God. But watching the brook get smaller and smaller and smaller, and now down to a trickle, all the temptation to do something perhaps must have been great. And I think perhaps more of our circumstances and situations, and again, I don't know, there may be one here and it seems that things are drying up, the brook is drying up, we've got to do something, we cannot carry on like this, soon it's going to dry up, then what shall we do? Well, dear soul, here is the answer. Wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now the Lord save us from natural reasoning and leaning upon our own understanding, but I believe it could be rightly said that although Elijah would believe that God could do anything, he didn't expect that brook to suddenly replenish and fill again. It was because of the withholding of rain that the brook dried up. I'm sure Elijah did believe in the God of miracles, but I'm sure he wasn't expecting that brook to suddenly flourish again, be full of water. It was drying up day after day after day. But when it did dry up, oh, what a great trial of his faith. Where is now thy God? And the Lord appears. The Lord appears. And the Lord gives him word where to go next, even to Zarephath, and a long journey to be walked. He knew again exactly where he was to go. And then the widow woman preparing for her last meal. The barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, almost at its very, very end, just a little left. But the word of the Lord, here was his confidence, here was his stay, here was the Lord's promise, that barrel of meal should not fail, nor the cruse of oil, till the Lord send rain upon the earth. And every day there was that sufficiency. Every day there was just enough. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. If we truly fear the Lord, if we truly serve him, then surely our desire would be to know and to do his will. Yes, the Lord does use means, but we're not to dictate the means. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, waiting upon him to lead us forth by the right way, waiting upon him to show us what we must do, oh, waiting upon him to provide for our present need, oh, waiting upon him for divine direction. But wait thou only upon God. I think perhaps we might often stumble at this little word, only, to wait on self or something base, to wait also on an arm of flesh, or to wait upon man, to wait upon our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own thoughts, our own feelings. No, wait thou only upon God. But when we see perhaps a brook drying up, or like your second hymn, when things seem to be going wrong, when things are hard, or when providence is trying, wait thou only upon God. Oh, may the Lord grant us grace to show whom we serve and whom we follow, waiting only upon God, waiting upon him in prayer, waiting upon him in his word, or waiting upon him as a means of grace, because we will not wait in vain. For my expectation, the Lord will appear. Oh, the Lord will appear. The Lord will never be late. Man may fail, but God never fails. Now, Satan, sometimes, perhaps often, our own hearts may suggest that God has failed because of various events or circumstances in our lives which may be very painful and distressing. The Lord doesn't seem to come, doesn't seem to appear. But then still to wait thou only upon God. In this waiting, I see that of trusting in God. Now Job was brought to this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When the storm came upon the Sea of Galilee with Jesus in the ship with the disciples, and they feared for their lives, and eventually, at the last, they go to Jesus and awake him. Carest thou not that we perish? First, the Lord Jesus, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. And then he reproved his disciples. Where is your faith? Why are ye so fearful? Where is your faith? Now, the hymn writer, taking up the same theme, he writes, with Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Well, perhaps many of us here feel to come short there. Or the storms which come into our lives. And we fear that we shall perish. We shall never be brought through. We shall never survive. We shall never come out of this. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Oh, some of those storms are very severe. You think of the Apostle Paul and those with him, sailing. And that great, terrific storm came down upon them for 14 days. Neither sun, moon, nor stars appeared. Oh, it must have been terrifying. Driven up and down the Mediterranean. And when all hope that we should be saved seemed to be taken away, as if there is no hope, still to hope in God, still to trust in God, still to wait thou only upon God. And the Lord did appear. He appeared to his messenger, the Apostle Paul, who preached that word that not one life would be lost. And indeed, all came safe to land according to the word of God. Now we prove the ways of the Lord are past finding out. How then can a man understand his own way? Well, it's by faith. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. By faith looking unto Jesus. By faith following him. By faith trusting in him. By faith leaning hard upon him. By faith waiting only upon God. For my expectation is from him. My expectation. Oh, the Lord will yet appear. Oh, the Lord will come in his time, in his way. The Lord will bring me through. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may endure it. And that way is Christ, looking to him. Waiting only upon God. Oh, then may the Lord grant us that faith. That faith to look to him. That faith to trust in him. That faith to wait only upon him. Lord, increase my faith. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Philip Hare on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384.
may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.